This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today I'm joined in the studio by, I'm going to say it, the terrible twosome of
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Raj. It's like deja vu.
It is like deja vu. Who are you? Today's topic of discussion, we're talking privacy today, folks. Can and is it possible to be private and live a digitally social life at the same time? This is picked up from an article that we saw, The Paranoid Person's Guide to Online Privacy. We're going to be talking about tinfoil hats and all of that kind of stuff. We managed to get hold of Matt Armitage from culturepop.com and, of course, Matt Splain and Geek Squawk. He's going to paint us a very real picture of what it's like to try and be private in today's online world. We're going to be heading over to him in just a few minutes. That's our question of the day. We'd like you to feedback. Is it possible to be private and live a digitally social life at the same time? Ironically, we've asked this question on social media. Mm-hmm. Also on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. On Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Story number one, that was. Story number two, your emails are spying on you.
Yes, they are.
That's scary.
They have been for a long time.
Have they?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Story number three, chief digital officers are going extinct.
They are.
They're going the way of the dinosaur.
They are.
Story number four, Google's temp workers win crucial benefits, but they'll have to wait a few years.
Yes, kind of good news, but not really.
But okay. So we're starting off with privacy and then with Google. Everything's linked today, isn't it? Right, okay. I'm unsure where to go straight over to Matt to kind of answer my questions immediately before I start looking through what to do. Because whenever I speak to Matt, he's not the happiest of chaps, you know. And I like the fact that he comes in and he kind of just throws this layer of doom and gloom. And it's like, so Matt is like, no, that's how things are. And you're like, thanks for that, Matt. Hmm. But anyway, I'm going to try and paint a nice picture. So, increasingly, the most important issue for everyday internet users is privacy, and rightly so. In today's connected world, we're being tracked and surveilled more than ever by everyone from search giants and social media companies to ISPs and advertising firms. These organizations don't just record what we click on or share, but analyze our online activity to compile complex demographic and psychographic profiles about us, so they can essentially manipulate us into doing what they want us to do. Those dark overlords, those things. Right. So we've spoken many times on this show and on other shows about what you can potentially do to try and have some kind of semblance of privacy mm-hmm. whilst you're online. And I think a lot has been said about all of us accepting the fact that privacy is no longer a real thing if you are using any kind of service online. And what they've suggested is that, number one, you should ditch Facebook and anything to do with Facebook. You can't be a Facebook user and retain your privacy. Fact. The two concepts are fundamentally incompatible with each other. It's just like something can't be wet and dry at the same time. Facebook works by you willingly posting information about yourself online. So if you want to reclaim your online privacy, it's time to delete your Facebook account, delete your Instagram account, and delete your WhatsApp account. There's no way around it. They're all linked. And we use them every day.
But isn't there something about even if you delete your information, it's still in Facebook
servers? It's still stored in Facebook servers,
perpetually.
Yeah. Number two, if you want to use other social media like Twitter, you should make your accounts anonymous and private. But what about other media sites like, you know, Twitter, Reddit? I mean, you can continue to retain these sites, to use these sites and retain a fair amount of privacy. The trick for Twitter is to set up a new handle, make your account private, and don't allow anyone to follow you, so you kind of just surf around like some great white shark in the depths, just watching people.
Stalking
people. Mm. That's essentially what you'd become.
Yeah.
Number three, use a burner phone for two-factor authentication. This is also lessons on how to be a drug dealer, it seems to be anyway. So many websites are now prompting users to turn on two-factor authentication in order to help other users better protect their information. You should take websites up on this, but when they ask you for a phone number to text you the 2FA codes, don't give out a phone number that's connected to your real identity. In other words, use one with a separate SIM card in.
So the 2FA codes are like your tech code, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. It's bad enough that you have to wait for a tech on your phone.
Yeah.
So now they're asking you to have like another phone for your tech and then have a phone for your like whatever you do on a daily basis.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Where do people get burner phones?
I don't know anymore. You know, in America, you can buy burner phones like at a supermarket or whatever. Here, I think you're allowed yet. I'm not sure. They don't sell burner phones here, as far as I know. But they do sell burner SIM cards. But even with the burner SIM cards, you have to register your name, your IC, and whatever. So airport is probably your best bet.
Also, now this article also says, alternatively, you can use an app called Burner to get a virtual phone number for receiving texts.
There you go, then.
Yeah.
Something to check out. Number four, say goodbye to Google. Just like Facebook and privacy are incompatible, the same goes for Google and privacy. If you want to reclaim maximum online privacy, you'll need to jettison your Google account. Delete it and never use Google to perform your web searches again. What? Instead, use DuckDuckGo. And, of course, you can use OpenStreetMap instead of Google Maps. And you can use an email provider called Tutanota. That's not how it's pronounced, I assume, but there you go. Number five, use a secure web browser, preferably Tor. Tor might be a bit slow for people, but everybody's using Chrome. Everybody's using stuff like Safari on the Mac. A lot of this stuff, it's already tracking your stuff all over the internet. Six, use a VPN, stuff we've talked about before. Seven, say goodbye to smart home products and Android devices, Arvin. Because they're all tied to Google.
So going back to the burner phone.
Correct.
Okay.
Eight, use a secure messaging app at something like, what's the one I used? Signal is something that seems to be pretty good.
Telegram
as well. Mm-hmm. These are all encrypted end-to-end. It seems to be pretty good so far. There have been no leakages or anything like that. Okay. So that's what these are suggesting. So very quickly, we've got some short clips from Matt. And what we did is we posed this question to him. And I said, Christine said to Matt, is it possible to be private and live a digitally social life at the same time? And this is what he said.
No, not really. Not at this present time. Partly because of the model that we use for funding a lot of these apps. They're free to use, so we assume that they're free. But the companies that are actually marketing these services to us have to make money from these somehow, which they do by, of course, commoditizing our data, selling our information, and selling that to third parties that advertise to us. So that transactional nature of our relationship with these services means that we can never actually expect to have full privacy unless that business model is fundamentally changed.
See, happy as ever, right? Mm-hmm. I then kind of, we said, you know, okay, what can we do then to kind of guarantee our privacy, you know, on behalf of us? What could we do as a consumer to try and kind of guarantee a little bit of that privacy?
I mean, the only thing that you can do to kind of guarantee your privacy is to start actually switching off services. If you want to use something like Facebook or Instagram or any of the services owned and operated by Facebook or Google, for example, you're probably not going to have any realistic expectation of privacy. As we heard, I think last week, it was discovered that Facebook had left millions and millions of passwords in open text format on servers that could potentially have been hacked. There's no suggestion that they were hacked, but you know, this is the kind of cavalier attitude towards our privacy that a lot of the technology companies have.
See, and that's the thing, the cavalier, you know, attitude. They really don't care. They're just getting us in there as a consumer, getting our data, getting all of our details, storing it somewhere and using it and really not thinking about the end user and what could happen if that data is leaked. You know, we've seen it all for the last year. So we moved on and we got chatting about privacy-driven apps, you know, stuff that aren't WhatsApp, that aren't Facebook, that isn't Google. And this is what he had to say about that.
Apps like Signal especially are quite safe, or so we believe at the moment, and it doesn't seem to have been compromised so far. But are those apps suitable for the kind of sharing and conversations that you want to have? Most of our WhatsApp or Signal or Telegram fields, we're all members of groups, and those apps pretty quickly become quite unmanageable because they're not designed for that kind of social communication in the way that services like Facebook and Google are.
All right. So Signal gets a mention there as well. End-to-end encryption was originally developed, I believe, in part of former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And then the Soviet Union, Russia, I should say now, it's not 1980-something, Russia now have been trying to clamp down on Signal because they realize that people have been using it to spread information and have conversations which they cannot access and can't get information from. So final question was, all of this privacy being interrupted and people not having real privacy, how much are we to blame for that, for being part of this whole thing? This is what he had to say about that.
A lot of people are quite happy to allow those companies to have access to their information. Other people want further levels of privacy above and beyond that. So it is about finding what you're comfortable with and curating your behavior according to that level of privacy that you want to maintain. You don't put your home address on, you don't use your main mobile number, you use secondary email accounts, don't geotag your photos when you put up that picture of a coffee or your lunch.
You see, and that's where we are nowadays. Mm-hmm. It all started off with us all looking through rose-tinted glasses. Let's be friends on Facebook. Let's share our kids' photographs. Let's show pet photographs. This is where I live. This is what my home looks mm-hmm. like. This is what my garden is. All of these things seem very, very innocent, and it tended to be this real wholesome place. I wouldn't say wholesome place,
for a while, it felt like that.
And now, the more we read about these big data companies are losing information, they're sharing information, they're leaking information, it really does start to think that we're heading to an entirely different kind of future than the one that we imagined 5 or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit scary. And, that's the reason we called Matt, to kind of give us that
reality check.
Dose of reality.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I don't even think it's the future. I think it's like now, because all this like data collection and lack of privacy and getting our personal details and stuff happened like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Even before we started talking about privacy and stuff. Yeah. So that's what happened. They sort of like, because there were no rules and regulations and laws and no one looking after them, these big companies came along and said, okay, just give us your data.
Just give it. And we did.
Yeah, we will secure it. We won't sell it to anyone. And we will give you free products or free services in return. And no one asked questions. Mm. We're asking questions now, but it's a bit too late because the internet is so like intertwined with life, like just life, like in general.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, right? But 10 years ago, did you even think that you were handing over data? You just felt like you were sharing. Mm. You were sharing photos of your children or your pets, like Rich just said, right? Mm. And they basically fed on our hunger to share.
Right.
Mm. Right.
I don't even think they fed on it. I don't even think they knew what they were doing. Mm. I think when Facebook first started, I don't think they knew the value of data. I don't think Google knew the value of data. I think that once they started to see how much other people wanted their data, then they started to collect
it. And how much they're willing to pay for
that. Yeah, how much they're willing to pay. And not even pay like in like actual money, like pay in the form of like advertising.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're giving the person money and saying, give me this person's data. They're like, we want to advertise to this demographic. Do you have the stats or the numbers or any kind of details that you can give us? Mm. And then we will advertise on your platform. So it looks innocent.
Yeah.
So I don't even think these companies started with like malicious intent. I think they just saw that they had something valuable in the long run. And by the time they realized it and then we realized it, it's way too late. Mm. And now we're trying to backpedal a bit.
All right. And then very quickly, you've got to look at people who have huge amounts of followers, for example, on Instagram, who have built up that following for the specific purpose of either selling themselves or selling a product, and how much do those people actually realize of how much their data has been used, how much of it has been sold, how much it's worth?
Yeah.
That's something we should be having a chat about as well. Let us know via WhatsApp, can and is it possible to be private and live a digitally social life at the same time? Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some Head Automatica with Lying Through Your Teeth. When we come back, how your emails are spying on you. Mm. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes. Happy thoughts, people. Happy thoughts. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.